City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast. This is show number 151. I'm Peter Maverick.
And I'm Amy Matheny.
Hi.
Hi, baby. How are you?
I am so thankful fall is here.
Yeah.
Sweater weather.
Yeah.
Fleece weather.
Yeah.
And the best part about it is my mattress warmer.
Ah.
No heating blanket. I have a mattress warmer. And it's a gradual heat, so your feet get warmer than your topside, so you don't sweat. It is simply
where do you
lovely.
Get that? I want one of those.
Oh, a Bed Bath & Beyond or the Linens and Things.
Where does it go? Like under your mattress pad?
It actually goes on top of your mattress pad under your fitted sheet.
Okay.
So, yeah. And it's lovely because my feet get cold.
Do they?
Yeah. So, and when you put it on like maybe 15 minutes before you go to bed and it'll stay on for 10 hours. I mean, not that you're going to sleep that long, but...
I will.
But it doesn't...
You don't, maybe.
No, I don't. Your top side doesn't really get hot. It's just your feet that stay nice and toasty warm. And the higher up you turn it, the more the gradiated heat comes up.
Interesting.
It is so divine. And of course, my naked cats live for it.
Your naked cats.
They live for it.
Speaking of your naked cats, I don't know what this segue is. It's not much of one. But we didn't talk at all in our last show about this Ellen DeGeneres thing with her dog. And are you tired of talking about it? Or
no, it's just, it's interesting. Like,
I'm offended by her. Like, what is going on?
I know. I feel like this is the problem I have once Rosie came out. This was the same similar vein. Once Rosie was out, there wasn't a constructive use of her gay activism.
Well, there's
or
never been
like
of
that.
Ellen's. I mean, Ellen's not no. really, she just is gay as a token aspect of, I mean, not, I, no, wait, let me not speak out of tongue here, because huge, huge, courageous thing to do coming out on
Absolutely.
The Ellen show, change the trajectory of television. But obviously being gay is not a part of anything that she does during the day. Obviously, maybe this is what I'm jumping the gun and thinking they're saying, but I was just so embarrassed that this is what we were talking about. And I'm sure she didn't think people were going to be talking about it, but to get on I don't know. I get emotionally attached to my dog too, and maybe she's going through the change, and maybe she just had an emotional day, or maybe she has some sort of connection to this dog, or I have no idea what. But just to break down and I don't know all the sides of it. I just know that I was here. I didn't see it. I wasn't watching the show, and then I just kept hearing about it and seeing it, and I was just. I couldn't believe that this was what was getting news and this is what we're talking about. And in the same week, we have Ellen DeGeneres crying over this dog, and the agency that gave her the dog, adopted the dog to her, is getting death threats. And then all the stuff that you were saying in our last show about Dumbledore's gay. Which I didn't think that was negative, but you said that there, you feel like it's negative.
I feel like it's being cast
but
in a
just, shocking oh my light. God.
Well, I don't, you know, I always feel like if you have a platform to talk about something, let's talk about something constructive. I don't know. I just, this is why I don't watch her show anymore. I watched it in the first season because I thought it was fun and I thought it was a good romp. And occasionally she got close to talking about gay things, but then she just completely abandoned it.
Oh, she won't talk
it.
About gay things, but she definitely has her issues that are important. Well, you know, and now we go to Wayne Besson a lot with his Truth Wins mm-hmm. Out organization, and big statement that came out this week about, you know, there's all this controversy about Barack Obama being aligned with this anti-gay gospel singer, Donnie McClurkin, and, Obama's campaign finally came out because McClurkin is, you know, has said that he's very anti-gay and refers to homosexuality as a curse. And
let's call a spade too, because in general, the gospel community, the gospel singing community, especially the black gospel singing community, tends to be very homophobic.
Right. I mean, I think there's a lot of that out there. I don't want to. I'm not comfortable making a blanket statement about that, but this man has obviously gone out of his way of having anti-gay rhetoric. And, you know, Obama has been going out and, you know, with him and was scheduled to appear in this South Carolina gospel tour. And, you know, whatever. I mean, Obama wants everybody from every pocket supporting him. And I understand that. But, you know, he came out with a statement for all the people who are very upset. And I mean, people wrote him, but saying, you know, I've clearly stated my belief that gays and lesbians are our brothers and sisters and should be provided the respect, dignity and rights of all other citizens. I have consistently spoken directly to African-American religious leaders about the need to overcome the homophobia that persists in some of our community so that we can confront issues like HIV/AIDS and broaden the reach of equal rights in this country. I strongly believe that African-Americans and the GLBT community must stand together in the fight for equal rights. And so I strongly disagree with Reverend McClurkin's views and will continue to fight for these rights as President of the United States to ensure that America is a country that spreads tolerance instead of division. So that is his response. And, you know,
isn't it kind of sad, though, that he had to respond to that, that it became an issue. I mean, I don't know.
I think that this is what it is. This is what running for president is. You have to tell people over and over and over and over and over and over and over again in every city, sometimes five times in the same city, because they're all hanging out in Iowa, you know, what you believe. And I'm sure they feel like they have a ticker tape that they're just saying the same thing. And some people like the fact that people just stay with, you know, it's the whole kind of stay the course, like, this is what I believe, this is what I believe, I'm not going to stray from that. And then there are other people who want to see if these people are malleable at all. Do they change their stance? Some people will call that flip-flopping. Some people will say, oh, they're starting to broaden their scope of understanding. I mean, we're all sitting there watching Clinton, Edwards, and Obama at the logo presidential debate, and we want them all to say, we won't want one of them. We're all sitting there on bended knee thinking one of them is going to change their stance on gay marriage in front of our eyes. And it's probably not going to happen.
No.
But maybe it would happen if it's getting really close between two candidates and one candidate. I don't know. You know, you don't know when they tip the scales. But yeah, right now, I think this is really just about him continuing to talk about his platform is really about tolerance and sameness and the unity of how we are all one people. I think that has been a clear message of his. And it's a unique message of his based on his heritage and since his Democratic convention address. You know, we are one America, and I think that's really what he is trying to say in this to me.
The thing that pisses me off in this, and the reason I say it's sad, is because there's a blatant assumption that he's guilty by associating for whatever reason with this guy.
Well, there is.
That's just the blatant assumption. Do I feel that way? No. I think that some people, especially knowing what I know about what I've read about Barack Obama's philosophy, and I've read some of his writings and things like that, knowing what I know about him, he's the kind of guy who will be like, you know what, I really can't fucking stand you, but I want to talk to you, and I want to see what makes you think you're going to be there. So there was
I think the fear, though, is that he is an on the fence person with gay and lesbian issues to many GLBT people, and also probably to very conservative people, because he has said point right. blank in Audacity of Hope, I expect to be proven wrong on my views. Mm-hmm. I mean, he says, you know, this may be the great thing that I will come back and look at and say I was standing not on the right side of this. And he means that he was not more liberal, more progressive mm-hmm. on this topic. So I think, you know, people can say whatever they want to say, but I'm going to look at what you do. I'm going to look at who you hang out mm-hmm. with. I'm going to look at who you're shaking hands with and making deals with. And if you're making deals with the really anti-vocally gay, high rethric, throwing around, tossing around, conservative religious right person, I'm going to wonder about that. Not that you're going to get the religious right. You know, they're going to start their own party now. You know, the religious right isn't going to even support the Republican Party. Right. That's probably going to help liberals.
Yeah, in some yeah. In
I mean,
some,
they never get anything from the Republican Party anyhow. Right. So really,
but
what that they want, they're not getting what they really want.
I guess I'm commenting more on the state of affairs because it, now let's say he goes and hangs out with Bishop Desmond Tutu. He won't get as much coverage. He won't get as much.
No.
There won't be as much talk about it.
Mm-mm.
There won't be. And to me, that's just as radical because someone like that is way on the other side as well.
Yeah.
They're way on the positive side of the column.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's this very American flavored thing where we have to find the worst part of a situation and exploit it and make it loud and tell everybody about it. It's the whole Dumbledore story all over again to me.
Well, you know, China was upset and up in arms at Bush meeting with the Dalai Lama. So
yeah. I mean,
somebody's always going to be upset that two people are meeting, no matter who they are.
Yeah,
if they're big enough and most powerful enough people.
The biggest chunk of the economy. Who's driving the economy of China right now? The American dollar.
What's what I'm saying, though, but also they are important to us as we move our people
over
there.
If you shop at Target and Walmart and...
Well,
yeah, it depends where you shop.
If you have wood in your house and you've bought it in the past 4 years, it's come from China. So I'm just telling you, there is very few. Maybe Ethan Allen, and there's like three people making wood furniture in the United States of America. Well, so if you have wood in your house, then you... unless you thrift it.
From Mexico, with the exception of my... table from Crate and Barrel, but yeah, but my point being that it's so easy to vilify politicians, and I'm sad that we don't get to see too many of the positives, because the positives are kind of what I look for to see on the positive side where they're associating themselves with, and it's just harder to find that news. You have to dig for it, but bad stuff, woo, shit floats.
Yeah, it does. If it's healthy shit.
If it's healthy shit, it floats.
Hey, Clay Aiken is going to go to Broadway, folks. So if you are what do they call those? Aiken, Claykins, Claymates? I don't know what they are. If you're a
Claymate.
Fan,
oh my
they
God.
Say something, you know,
that
if you're
sounds
like
there should be like seven hot strippers behind him.
I can't believe we don't know this. We're so not gay. You're supposed to know what it is, like his fan club. But anyhow, he's going to be in Spamalot, and he starts right after Christmas around January 18th.
Oh.
He's playing Sir Robin in the Tony Award winning musical. So if anybody's heading to New York or in New York, you can go and catch him in that.
The Clayster, the Clay Aiken. Well, speaking of New York, just this.
Oh, wait. Are you going on to the interview?
Wait, okay.
I just have to say one thing. We haven't talked about television, and I just need to say one thing because I don't know how we made it a few shows here without television talk, but.
Dígame lo que pasa. We did. We talked about Dirty Sexy Money, but go ahead.
Briefly, yes, that's true. That wasn't enough. I just want to say that the season finale of Mad Men was last week. And if you have not watched this show, I hope that there's a way through AMC to watch it, or that they're going to replay it, because seriously, it is the best new show on television in years. And the critics are saying it, and it is really... from the acting to the writing to the design, it is really a Sopranos type quality show in absolutely every aspect. And I cannot give it a higher, I don't even know how high to give it at critical praise. It's just, it's so phenomenal. And I have to say, throughout every episode, all the way to the end, they just had a way of taking something from a character in every episode where you were just like, you did not see it coming, or oh my gosh, or just really moving.
Sounds very 6 feet under the beginnings.
You know, it's really...
That's what it reminded me of when I watched
it. What is so fascinating is that it's this, you know, it's the advertising world in 1955. It's those gender roles. It's the...
Tons of people smoking on TV.
Smoking, drinking on television, the costumes, the time period.
The adultery.
The adultery, the just really so fascinating slice of Americana, and why we are where we are today, I think, based on this whole 50s ideal that we all still believe. It was so deeply rooted in us around the whole Nixon, Kennedy, you know, Johnson. I mean, these years of just...
Well, I think we're far enough away to kind of not share that. I think we're just far enough in age away not to share that, but I think you love it because you're an ad person.
No, I don't know. My mom, is totally addicted to it. And, you know, I can just tell you from TV Guide to Entertainment Weekly to all of the major papers are just saying, you know, that this is the Chicago Tribune. Everybody has chronicled it as the best new show of the year. And that's with everything that's on fall television. And so if you get an opportunity to go back, because I know sometimes we've told you about things mm-hmm. and everybody's gone back and watched Mad Men, I cannot recommend it enough.
I'm sure they'll do, especially AMC, they'll do like a whole weekend.
I bet they will. So watch
out
for
start to finish
it.
Weekend of something or other.
Right, sorry about that. I just had to get that out because I'm
that's
very
okay.
excited about
Speaking
it.
Speaking of New York.
Yes.
Segue back. The just magical, talented, incredibly, incredibly driven force.
Sexy.
That force. Well, sexy. I want to try not to sexualize him, though. I mean, the guy's fucking drop-dead gorgeous. Don't get me wrong.
I will sexualize him. Then the lesbian will sexualize him.
He's so incredibly talented and driven. Driven is the word I love. And he's so passionate about what he does. Ari Gold sits down... we talk about Transport Systems, his new album, and this guy, it's so amazing to think that there are queer artists out there. It is truly sisters doing it for themselves.
He really is
put himself out there and put himself at the forefront of what's going on. And despite the gap between someone like Ari Gold and I don't know, let's pick some other popular group that has big money behind them. It's just It's just amazing to see how vibrant and how great his music is and it's evolving. So we get to chat with Ari Gold today on the show. It's wonderful. We're going to tell you about theater. We're going to tell you about some more stuff. So stick with us. You really don't want to miss this one because he's just a delight to talk with.
Yeah.
And he's so driven and passionate about what he does. I keep using those words, but those are the best ones to describe him. So stick with us. We'll be back after this.
1963. Picture four guys under a street lamp with a sound and a song and a dream that would rock the world. Jersey Boys, the musical phenomenon about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, is coming to Chicago. It's Broadway's greatest success story. Four blue-collar kids working their way from the streets of Newark to the heights of stardom. The American dream never sounded better. Take the journey across the country, up the charts, and behind the music. Jersey Boys arrives here October 6th, and it's already been extended through next April. This new block of seats is on sale now, so get yours today. Oh, what a night. Jersey Boys, coming to the LaSalle Bank Theater. Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of October 22nd, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Innovation, sensuality, and creativity will be on display as Complexions Contemporary Ballet takes the stage at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University for two nights only, November 10th and 11th. Tickets to Complexions Contemporary Ballet are available through Ticketmaster and at the Auditorium box office.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Stephen Dietz's Fiction. Husband and wife novelists find the foundation of their marriage shaken after reading the secrets in each other's diaries. Playing now through November 4th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets to Fiction, call 773-871-3000 or visit RemyBumpo, that's 2ps.org.
Looking Glass Theater Company presents No Child, written and performed by Nalijah Sun. A touching and funny exploration of the public school system that demonstrates with humor and compassion why not one child should be left behind. The New York Times calls it marvelous. No Child is playing now. For tickets, call 312-337-0665 or visit Looking GlassTheater.org.
Critics and audiences love Forbidden Broadway, the fall down funny smash hit musical at the Royal George Theater. The Chicago Tribune raves it's the funniest, fastest 90 minutes in Chicago. Forbidden Broadway playing now through January 13th. For tickets, call 312-988-9000 or go to Ticketmaster.com.
About Face Theater presents Wedding Play, a world premiere written and directed by Eric Rosen. Set in the world of Chicago theater, Wedding Play blends mystery, comedy, and might just be a confession to murder. Playing now, calling 312-335-1650 or visit steppenwolf.org for tickets.
Northlight Theater presents The Miser, a classic comedy with a contemporary twist. A cast of Chicago all-stars headlines this tale of true love between a man and his money. With forbidden romance in the air and the family treasure buried in the backyard, it's a hilarious race to see who will come out on top. For tickets to The Miser, visit northlight.org.
Altar Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about five small-town boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham, trying to save the world one screaming fan at a time. The Tribune says this production is brilliant. You'll laugh your socks off. Altar Boys, playing now at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Visit alterboyschicago.com.
Writers Theater presents the world premiere of Evan Smith's The Savannah Disputation. Time Out Chicago raves it's a sneak attack of religious interrogation disguised as an episode of The Golden Girls. For tickets to The Savannah Disputation at Writers Theater, log on to writerstheater.org or call 847-242-6000.
And for more Culture Club, just visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big strong man say, I think I need a new fur coat?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla.
I'm taking no prisoners.
A look that's half street pimp, half Aunt Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure, it's gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
Look at me.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
And this is your Windy City Clearcast News.
Provincetown police will not be pressing charges in a case many in the community view as an outright hate crime. A group of gay men claim they were physically attacked while being called anti-gay names. The report says that the incident is being treated as free expression.
Philadelphia recently sent a message that it's not a fan of anti-gay groups when the city announced that the Boy Scouts of America will have to cough up $200,000 a year to keep its local branch headquartered in the city of brotherly love because of its anti-gay policy. The group used to only pay for upkeep of the building they use, but now they will have to pay full market value. The local branch, the Cradle of Liberty Council, has been battling it out with the city for several years because of its anti-gay policy violates Philly's human rights ordinance.
Apparently, the dangerous staph germ is killing more people in the U.S. than AIDS. Federal health officials have announced that the germ is also causing more infections than they suspected. The germ causes about 19,000 deaths per year.
In an interview this week with NBC's Matt Lauer, Republican Senator Larry Craig said that he wasn't aware that the airport bathroom was used as a gay cruising spot.
Sure.
Accompanied by his wife during the interview, Craig said he is not gay and only decided to plead guilty to the charges brought against him in hopes it would go away.
A new survey released by Mental Health America revealed that over two-thirds of Latino parents don't discuss sexual orientation with their kids. However, 95% of parents surveyed agreed that information on the topic should come from parents. The study found that the lack of discussion has negative impacts on the children, but 70% of parents say they don't feel prepared to discuss sexual orientation.
Well, it's happening. In Paul Schrader's upcoming thriller, The Walker, Woody Harrelson is playing the role of a gay Southern gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Public relations company Rena Communications was named as a finalist in the PR News 2007 Platinum PR Awards. Rena Communications has dedicated itself to raising awareness of GLBT family issues for national organization Family Equality Council.
Rosie O'Donnell will appear at an upcoming National Women's Conference, November 10th through 11th in New York City. O'Donnell is presenting the keynote speech at the Freedom of Our Terms Women's Conference. Other guests include Gloria Steinem.
And finally, in Gentleman's Quarterly, better known as GQ, Lance Bass said the first person he came out to was Britney Spears because he, quote, felt bad for her. He offered his secret following the pop star's first marriage in Vegas. He added that his news surprised her, and even though the two are neighbors, they don't talk anymore. Also, Lance Bass thought two of his former NSYNC bandmates were gay. Justin Timberlake, because he, quote, told us he wanted to do a gay part in a movie. Bass also thought that Chris Fitzpatrick was gay because, quote, he used to hang out with the choreographer.
Oh, he was kind of stuck in his stereotypes, wasn't he? Lance Bass. And that's your Windy City Clearcast News.
Hi, this is Lucas from The Clicks, and you're listening to the Windy City Clearcast. place, another time. Transport me, give me a different face that isn't mine, and transform me, 'cause I'm not a wealth for this world. Transport me. Didn't you know mama used to tell me daddy wished I was a girl?
Out and proud singer and songwriter Ari Gold doesn't just have the looks to knock you out. He's got the songs, the voice, and the style to take you into his own musical world. He's an Out Music Award winner many times over, and following up his latest album, Space Under Sun, he's here to talk about his third album, Transport Systems. Hey, Ari, how are you?
I'm great.
Hey, Ari, congrats on the new CD.
Yes.
Well, I should say I'm fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, we love it.
You get a pod snap for that, baby.
I can cuss.
You can. Just don't talk to Barbara Walters after us, because you'll be swearing at the old lady and she won't like it.
Just let it all hang out with us, Ari Gold. We love that.
So how has your summer been with that video burning up the TV?
I'm sorry, what's the question?
How has your summer been?
My summer has been great. It's been really busy. I guess it's over, for God's sakes.
yeah.
Oh, but it's been amazing. I mean, just being able to put out this album that I am so proud of and get the response back, and the response has been so positive and great, and it's just been really exciting. I've even been able to tour this past summer in sort of a pre-release tour for my album, and then it culminated in New York where I did my concert at Joe's Pub, which was sold out, and I had my band with me, and kind of did something that I've been wanting to do forever, which is to combine sort of the electronic elements that I have on the album in addition to acoustic and live instrumentation, and so it really worked great, and it was such a full sound, and it was just really amazing to be able to perform all this stuff live and get that response from the audience, all the stuff that I've been sort of locked into the studio and do, you know?
Well, yeah, I know sort of the remixes came out. That was the last big one, even though that was like, I sort of call that your third record, right? Because it was a full length, but it was mostly a remix album when that one came out. So had you been working on Transport Systems like around that time as well? Or did you set all that off and you're like, okay, that's finally done and now I can start working on it? Or how did you sort of arrive at putting these pieces together? Because you're the EP on this one. So that's like a big role going on there, dude.
Putting out the remix album with the Coffee Table Book definitely sort of gave me some time to have something out there in between the last album and this album, and definitely to put everything together and write and come up with the concept and find people to collaborate with and stuff. Actually, the very first thing that I probably wrote for this record was written probably like even before I released my second album. I may have started even with some ideas. So yeah, it's been quite a while brewing in my brain.
cooking it good. Well, there are just some
simmering.
Yeah, simmering, the stewing. We like stewing. So there's just an amazing array of people on this album, though. I mean, Dave Koz is on there, Sasha Allen, Steve Skinner. Tell us, was it intimidating working with the names? Was it inspiring? Were they assholes? Like, oh God, they only want to do it their way? Or they probably weren't assholes. But tell us about that experience, because this album seems just, I don't know, from the outside, maybe I've got this wrong, but it seems much more kind of collaborative, but with the Ari Gold vision sort of going on there.
I would say that all of my albums have been collaborative, but yet, you know, it's definitely me at the helms. Not only even at the helms, which means, like, of course, you know, it's me making all the big decisions and stuff, but me at the helms of every detail as well. I mean, there's very little that goes on that I'm not really there for. Working creatively, this album has been just a dream. I mean, everything really flowed. Steve Skinner I've been working with, since my first album. So mm-hmm. we sort of have a. It's very easy with us, you know. And
you know each other. No drama. You're right there.
No drama. Exactly. and then I worked with some new people like Joe Hoag his partner Sean Peterson of Hit Play, and that was a new situation. And the creative process of that was awesome. It was really great working together, and getting people like Dave Koz. There was definitely no. Creatively, there was one diva hippie fit. in the final hour, there was a conflict. I have to admit, in the very final hour. Of course, I got my way because it's my record.
Yeah. It wouldn't have been gay if there hadn't been a little drama. Come on, Ari.
Well, all the drama is really happening now.
Yeah?
Now that the album is out, now everybody else is freaking out. I'm just trying to keep going, but...
So you know, the album, Transport Systems. Tell us about that title. Tell us about sort of the...
What does it mean?
The theme of what we've got going on here.
Well, you know... The title just sort of popped into my head, and I wasn't even sure what it meant. I just knew that it felt really evocative to me, and, you know, like, the word systems just is very futuristic and technological, and it kind of, like, implies, like, a complex tapestry of different things working together, and the idea of transport, you know, and transportation. This term came to me after I had already sort of discovered that the idea of transportation and transformation and movement and progression were these themes that kept coming up on the record in the writing process. And so I just loved the title, and I just went to look it up online and kind of see what it was, where it popped into my head and what it was about and what it was.
And if anybody else used it.
Describing like modes of transport, and even like the definition of the word transport, I looked in the dictionary, and it was so perfect because it's about, you know, trying to convey emotion and being taken to another place. And then it also had a meaning of to banish, which I thought was really fascinating, because that's really what the album was about. It was about transporting and moving forward past, for me personally, a lot of the pain and the shame that I had experienced in childhood, and then I think even as gay people in general, to move forward past some of the shame that we most of us really have experienced, as far as feeling like being gay was not okay, and to move to that next place where we achieve all of our rights, our human rights, where we can be seen in the public as the multifaceted and complex individuals that we are, you know, and to let go of some of our own internalized stuff. So I just thought it all really worked together, and it was the first time that I was able to really conceive of an album from the very beginning till the end. So that was very exciting to me, and I think it shows in a certain cohesiveness that I haven't really been able to achieve before.
Absolutely.
Well, and one of the things you just mentioned is about, you know, us transporting ourselves, you know, to kind of the mainstream. And I just want you to talk a little bit about what the power of gay radio, gay podcasting, and Logo has done for the career now of you and other gay and lesbian and transgender recording artists.
Well, it's an amazing thing. And, you know, I was the first one on Logo to actually make it onto their top 10 video charts. They didn't have any independent artists or out artists on there before, and that allowed for a lot of other artists to get shown and get seen, because they saw there was an audience for it and there was a market for it, and I think that's great. And I think it's just so important for us as a community to have these things for ourselves, because we're never going to be able to achieve all of our full acceptance if we don't give this stuff to ourselves. If we don't, you know, if we don't have our own spaces where we can celebrate who we are and what we do. I mean, and it's just kind of crazy, because it's like, if you look at art and culture, it's like gay people have been at the forefront of it forever. So, you know, why we shouldn't, I mean, it's certainly in pop music, you know, why there isn't more visible out pop stars out there. It's just crazy considering how many, you know, gay people are probably running stuff in the music business.
Yeah, the writers, the musicians, the
producers.
We're doing stuff. So.
Well, and it's interesting because in looking at your CD and all your special thanks and the people that you know, give a shout out to, it's like you're really connected to that whole world and have felt yourself be fostered and mentored and, you know, walking alongside all the artists that have gone before you and are also trying to make this kind of music and this kind of, you know, art now. And whether it's queer art or whether the artist happens to be queer, you know, there's just a unity there that I really think is quite amazing.
Yes. I mean, look at what, you know, hip hop has been able to accomplish. I mean, that started as a very internal thing.
Right.
That was songs, music that was written from the experience of living in the ghetto. And it was really for other people who were in that same life. And it crossed over, and now it became the biggest selling music, I think, of all genre of music of all time. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it's amazing when we can do stuff for ourselves, and kind of, we can make our own stars, and we can give that to ourselves first.
Well, and the challenge is to not stay in the closet. The challenge is to be out and to be proud, which you always have been. And, you know, that is the challenge, because the difference between a hip hop artist is people look at them or hear them and know they're urban. People can hear different kinds of dance music or, you know, and we kind of defy genre, you know, of dance and rock and pop and all of that.
Yes. We can be out there in every genre.
Yeah.
Well, and we've been swimming in all those waters for so many years. It's about time that we sort of hold up the Wile E. Coyote flag and say, hi, gay.
Gay, right, we're here.
Right here for sure. I want to read, folks, just a quick quote from the back cover of the book, and it's also on your website about the album. It's a wonderful quote. It says, "Music is the ultimate transport system. It allows us to escape the world while still being engaged with it. It moves us physically, metaphysically, and emotionally. Music can also lead us forward into the future." I think it's just a beautiful sentiment in and of itself. And you talked a little bit about this earlier, but where are you going now? You have this album, this just wonderful, and it is a tight album. You said it earlier compared to your earlier stuff. Like, I love Space Under Sun. I still, you know, he's one of mine, or he's on my team. I still listen the hell out of that song. I can't stop listening to it. I love it. But it does sound like a very cohesive album for you. What's changing for you musically in this now? Is it that you have more control to be creative, or is that you have more of a drive to be in control?
Well, I think I've always been in control, whether it was by default or not. I've definitely always been in control of everything that I put out there into the world, musically, image-wise. I just think that as I've, you know, matured and grown, it's been a journey and a process just to own my own power, you know, and sort of license myself, you know, and sort of just to realize it's kind of a trip when I think about it sometimes, you know, like being the first to do this or that and being a trailblazer in certain ways and sort of to be like, well, that is true. That's what I'm doing, this stuff that hasn't really been done before, and I just had to kind of own it and respect it for what it is, because it's a gift, really, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think I with every album that I made and every project that I sort of put out, I was once again moving forward in that direction of really just trying to respect the work and just kind of do it as best in as big a way as I possibly can with whatever resources and whatever it is that I had, even if I wasn't getting, you know, the support of a big record label or whoever, just to you know, on my own, really do this as best as I can.
Do you think that there'll be the possibility that you could take your Joe's Pub show to some other major cities? Because I think what you created there was probably, knowing that space, was probably fairly unique and might transfer to San Francisco or LA or Chicago or Atlanta.
Absolutely. I'm definitely, I mean, I actually right before the Joe's Pub show, did a show in Chicago, but I was not able to transport my whole show there because there wasn't that kind of budget for that. So I am hoping that in the future, because I have my full band with me and I had a guest singer, and I am hoping that for the full, because that was like a pre-release tour, so I'm hoping for the full tour, the transport tour, I'm going to be able to bring everybody out. And I mean, I know that we're already working on that, so.
Yeah.
It looks good.
Good.
Excellent.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. Do you think it's getting easier as an independent artist to release stuff, or do you think that, I don't know, I had a friend the other day who said as an indie artist, she thinks it's starting to get a little bit harder again because of all the channels that are now just like wide open. She feels like things are getting a little watered down. Do you think it's getting easier?
Well, it's fair game. I really don't know. I mean, everybody's journey is so different and every artist's journey is so different. But, I would definitely say that it's a very interesting time, and it's definitely been better for an independent artist. I mean, perhaps, in a lot of ways, I started doing things independently kind of at the beginning when it was at the beginning of the whole movement of independent artists kind of putting stuff out there, I think. I mean, like, I had a website before I even owned a computer, and I don't know how that happened, but I did. I think it's a great time in many ways for independent artists because there are so many avenues and there are so many ways to, you don't need a big company to get your music across. I think it's just, you have to be creative and have to really about how to get it out there to people. And, it's not easy. It's not easy for me. It's not easy for anyone, I don't think. But I haven't heard that it's particularly easy for people who are on major record labels either. It's a crazy business, the music business, so.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I have a quirky little question for you now. This is kind of unrelated to the album, but I was watching IFC the other day, and this program series called Indie Sex Extremes came on. And so I'm watching it, and they're showing all these naughty little sex scenes, and they've got all these talking heads in the show, people. And then, bam, there's Ari Gold talking about, like, Madonna and Body of Evidence or something wonderful like that. And
It
made me giggle. And I'm curious, how did that happen? Did someone call and say, hey, hot man, we want you on Indie Sex? Or, I mean, how did that happen?
I was emailing today with one of the filmmakers who did that, Leslie Kleinenberg, and Lisa Aides. They're the two female filmmakers who did that whole documentary. And they actually had approached me about a possible documentary about my life, and we had talked about it. And then this project sort of came up for them, which sort of took up all their time. But they wanted to include me. It kind of happened, I think, at some party. I was involved with something else that I did music for another one of their films called Fabulous, which was the story of queer cinema, also
right.
for the IFC network. I contributed music and music supervised that film. So at the party for that film, I sort of offhandedly told them the story of jerking off to this one scene in The Terminator.
Nice.
And later on, discovering that both my brothers, my heterosexual brothers, were doing the same thing when nobody else was around, which explained to all three of us at that moment when we all realized we had all been watching that scene, why it was so warbly. The
VHS tape was a little stretched.
It just would get at just one moment, like all kind of,
What moment was it? In The Terminator or Terminator? See, Terminator 2, I'm a lesbian, so I want to know when Linda Hamilton got hot.
My God,
you know?
Amy, it's like mom's knocking on the bathroom door. You can't ask that question.
I want to know.
It was the scene between Linda Hamilton and, the actor's name is Michael.
The hunky guy.
Yeah, I mean, just he's stunning, and so is Linda Hamilton. So it was quite a hot scene.
I have to go back and watch it now and then think about Ari Gold and his two straight brothers all getting off on it. That's really quite wonderful.
Not in the same room, though. So
that's all right. In my room, it will be all three of you, just because that would be fun.
Scandal.
Like a circle jerk around Terminator, you know?
Ew. What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm just going to stay silent on all that one.
The lesbian took us there. What's wrong with you two gay men?
Lesbians, that's so perverse.
See, we love sex, the lesbians.
Absolutely.
What is that horrible stereotype?
Absolutely. Exactly. So tell folks about the video running right now that you've got on the tube.
The video is just, I'm so excited about the video and just so happy with the way it came out. Joe Phillips is a dear friend of mine, and we worked together on a bunch of things. He kind of did all these illustrations for me, contributed to my coffee table book. It was actually because of him that I even made the connection with the publishers over there, because he had done all of his books with them. And he was learning how to do animation. I mean, him and his brother Lex learned how to do the animation themselves, which is just incredible. And mm-hmm. they had done a film, a gay superhero animated porn movie called Stonewall and Riot, and they did a fantastic job. And we talked about doing the music video, and it's the first music video they ever did, and it came out so great. And you know, it's like a gay interracial kiss saves the world. It's sort of Metropolis meets Gem and the Holograms, and I got to live out my lifelong dream of being a cartoon character.
Yay! Oh my God.
Did you just say Gem and the Holograms meets Metropolis? I think I'm in love all of a sudden. That's just a perfect, perfect analogy. God, that so fits. Now I have to go back and watch it again.
So how do people get the CD and find out where you might be performing and what's going on in your life?
Well, all the tour dates are posted on my website, all the news and the press and interviews and stuff. It's all on arigold.com. And, of course, you can become my friend on MySpace, which is MySpace/Ari Gold, the artist, one word. And, and the CD should be in your stores. It should be in your local gay bookstores that have CDs. It should be in Virgin or Best Buy. And if it's not there, make sure that your store near you orders it. So
run inside and say, "Where's my Ari Gold? Damn it, give it to me now. I want it bad."
Well, and of course you're hearing the songs from Ari's new CD mm-hmm. in our show today, and
Transport Systems coming at you on the Centaur label.
And we thank you so much, Ari, for coming back. You're a repeat guest. We don't have many repeat guests on the show, but when we have guests who have so much going on in their life, it's just great to catch up again.
It is great to talk to you too.
Take care.
All right, cool. We'll talk soon.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.